So we'll go right into the verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vedanti Vishvam Kavayasmanasvaram. Pasyanti Chadhyatma Vido Vipastitaha. Tapi Muyanti Tavajamayaya. Suvishmitam Krithyam Majam Nano Smitam. Vedanti Vishvam Kavayasma Manasvaram. Pasyanti Chayatma Vido Vipaschitaha. Tathabhimunyanti Tava Jamayaya. Suvishmitam Krityam Majo Natho Smitam. Vedanti Vishvam Kavayasma Nasvaram. Pasyanti Chadhyatma Vido Vipaschitaha. Tathapi Muyanti Tava Jamayaya. Suvismitam Krithyam Majo Natho Smitam. Vedanti. They say authoritatively, Vishvam, the entire material creation, Kavaya, great learned sages, Sma, certainly, Nasvaram, perishable, Pasyanti, They see in trance cha also adhyatma vidya, who have realized spiritual knowledge, vipaschitaha, very learned scholars, tata api, still mudyanti, become illusioned, tava, your, aja, O unborn one, mayaya, by the illusory energy, suvismitam, most wonderful, krityam, activity, ajam, unto the supreme unborn one, nata asmi, I offer my obeisances, tam, unto him. Sisi panchatattva ki jai, sisi garnitai ki jai. Srila Prabhupada, translation and purport. So these chapters called the residents of Jambudweep offer prayers. So this is various residents of the Earth planet. O unborn one, learned Vedic scholars who are advanced in spiritual knowledge certainly know that this material world is perishable, as do other logicians and philosophers. In trance, they realize the factual position of this world, and they preach the truth as well. Yet, even they are sometimes bewildered by your illusionary energy. This is your wonderful pastime. Therefore, I can understand that your illusionary energy is very wonderful, and I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Not only does the illusionary energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead act on the conditioned souls within this material world, but sometimes it also acts on the most advanced learned scholars who factually know the constitutional position of this material world through realization. As soon as someone thinks, I am this material body, aham mameti, and everything in relationship to this material body is mine, he is an illusion, moha. This illusion caused by the material energy acts especially on the conditioned souls, but it sometimes also acts on liberated souls as well. A liberated soul is a person who has sufficient knowledge of this material world and is therefore unattached to the bodily conception of life. But because of association with the modes of material nature for a long time, even liberated souls sometimes become captivated by the illusionary energy due to inattentiveness in the transcendental position. I'll read that again. Even liberated souls sometimes become captivated by the illusionary energy due to inattentiveness in the transcendental position. Therefore, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Mam eva ye papadyante maya etam tarantite. Only those who surrender unto me can overcome the influence of material energy. Therefore, no one should think himself as a liberated person immune to the influence of maya. Everyone should very cautiously execute devotional service by rigidly following regulative principles. Thus, he will remain fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, a little inattention will create havoc. We have already seen an example of this in the case of Maharaj Bhart. Maharaj Bhart was undoubtedly a great devotee, but because he turned his attention slightly towards a small deer, he had to suffer two more births, one as a deer and another as a brahmanan named Jad Bharat. Afterward, he was liberated and went back home, back to Godhead. The Lord is always prepared to excuse his devotee, but if a devotee takes advantage of the Lord's leniency and purposefully commits mistakes again and again, the Lord will certainly punish him by letting him fall down into the clutches of the illusionary energy. In other words, theoretical knowledge acquired by studying the Vedas is insufficient to protect one from the clutches of Maya. One must strongly adhere to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service, then one's position is secure. Om Agyanti Midandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we're hearing a little bit about the glorification of the illusionary energy. Maya is, sometimes we use the word Maya. We use it in a very loose way. Well, Maya means that which is not. But is it factual to say that something in this material world doesn't exist? No. So therefore, Maya, when you say that which is not, is one of the definitions of Maya, means that which presents itself as something different than it, what it really is. That's the actual definition. When you see or experience something, it's not the way you see it or experience, it's different. But it exists. Therefore, it's illusory. Because everything in this world is constantly, what we say, in flux, constantly changing from one situation to another. The beautiful young girl who's very attractive and catches the attention of everyone, half a few years later, nobody wants to look anymore. So this is the illusionary energy. It just presents, oh, and then time just makes something different. But actually a better example is that when something sees something in this material world or experiences some contact with it through one of the senses, one thinks this is the way to enjoy. So this is where the illusionary energy really kind of pounds the living entity. Oh, you want to enjoy? Well, here, take a kick. Boom. Just like in animal life, we can learn a lot from the animals. We don't really think that the animals have a lot to teach us, but they actually do. They can teach us a lot. Just like sex life. Everyone thinks sex life is so nice. You go for it, and you enjoy it, and you kind of like, and then you feel like you're on top of the world. But really, you're on top of a garbage heap. That's a better understanding. So we can learn from the donkey. Oh, the donkey is the very nice animal. Sometimes we call him an ass. Haribo. And I remember in New Vrindavan, we had some donkeys. And so one devotee was observing how donkeys have their interplay. And this is actually factual. You can look it up. The male donkey sees the female donkey, and he just goes looking, ha, it's time to be a real donkey here now. So he comes along. And as soon as he gets within certain range, she turns around and kicks him right in the face. Boom! Smack in the face with both legs. Boom! He goes back. He's a little dazed, but he's still thinking, I'll go again. And this time it won't be like that. And he goes again, and she's ready for number two. Boom! He gets socked again, both legs, full force. And it happens a few times. Pretty much, he's pretty dizzy after a while. He hasn't given up yet. Finally, when she sees that he's actually determined, she says, "Ha ha 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 ha." She gives him the curtain. Okay, so you passed the test. This is donkey life. Yeah, I wouldn't say you should make an effort to see donkeys, but if you do, you'll see this is the scenario. And we can learn from that. It's a good lesson, because the more enjoyable something is in this material world, the more you suffer. Haribo, isn't that nice? If you get a little enjoyment, you get a little suffering. If you get more enjoyment, you get more suffering. So in proportion to the enjoyment, you get that amount of suffering. But in sex life, you get all the suffering combined together in a package, full-blown, with stamped labels by the material energy that this is guaranteed, and money back guaranteed if you don't get all the suffering that I say you should. So this is sex life is the worst form of suffering. Abortion, contraceptive, that which is breaks the laws of God. Contraception is breaking the laws of God, because God allows a particular living entity to enter into the semen of a man, and that living entity is destined to take birth. You block that. You actually commit a great sin. So that's just by adding contraceptive, that is a form of blockage, or it's a form of sin. And we see broken marriages, cheating, this, that. There's so many problems. Women get exploited by crafty men, and then the man goes away, and the woman is stuck with the child, and she doesn't know what to do. So this happens all the time, all because of this, what we call adiras, this sex life. Prabhupada said we should discuss sex life every day in our classes. Isn't that nice? We don't really talk about it so much because we shouldn't talk about that stuff, That's on the side. But Prabhupada said, if you don't talk about it and explain the understanding of how this particular activity in this world binds the living entity more than anything else, then your spiritual life will go very, very weak. And then we internalize all these ideas and we feel like it's okay. But it's not. Prabhupada said, licit sex or illicit, it's all illicit. So even within marriage, Krishna says, Bharatas, what is it? Kamu Bharatas Sosmi in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, I am that sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. Krishna says that by following religious principles and with the idea of conceiving a child in a holy type of atmosphere, with consummation of the mind and the heart of the husband and wife before the act is performed, that consciousness brings about a good soul. And that is a great service. But outside of that, it's all maya or illicit. And the problem is very strong. Sometimes we ask, maybe we don't ask, but anyway, I'll make the point. The pleasure element of sex life, why is it in that particular spot in the body? I mean, it could have been your finger, could have been on your head, your elbow, but it's in a particular place. Why? Prabhupada says the demigods arranged it that way. And so, because people will not have children. So in order to increase, bring about the souls into the world so they can experience their karma and then go through their karma, it's put in that particular place in the body. So people think, this is going to be fun. But then what happens? Then you're responsible for whatever happens. So it's designed that way simply to bring children into the world. That's why it's there. That's why the scriptures say sex life is simply made simply for procreation and not recreation, which leads to procreation, recreation, devastation, mind obstruction, so many other things. It takes 40 drops of blood to make one drop of semen. Haribo.
40 drops of blood. So sex life, Prabhupada, the scriptures say that like a camel thinks, oh, these thorns are so nice. They're so nice. Nice, chewy thorns. And the camel is not a very intelligent animal. He goes and he starts chewing on the thorns. And the blood that comes from cutting his tongue with the thorns mixes with the thorns, and he thinks, wow, what a sweet taste. This is sex life. But you're losing your own blood, and you think, huh, it is so nice. Haribo. So this is what this verse is about, that even great souls, people who are fixed in the principle, the knowing that I'm not this body, I'm part and parcel of the Supreme Absolute Truth, they also become bewildered. Krishna manifested a particular form called Mohini Murti. It's in the Bhagavatam in the, what is it, fifth canto? No. What's it? Eighth canto. Yeah, Mohini Murti. And that bewildered the demons very strongly. And therefore the demigods could actually take the nectar away from the demons. The demons got attracted to this beautiful girl who was actually Krishna in the form of a woman. It's an actually incarnation. I remember I was giving a class in India. And so you get all kinds of questions when you give classes. You never know what to expect. So I got this question. If Mohini Murti is one of the forms of the Lord, why don't we worship that form in the temple? I mean, think about the answer. So, how many brahmacharis would be left after we had that? So that was my answer. So, this Mohini Murti manifestation of Krishna was so bewildering, and Shiva, Lord Shiva, he heard about this. He didn't see it. He heard about it from others. He wanted to see that form of the Lord. And he came to the Lord and he prayed to the Lord, please show me that form that bewildered all the demons. The Lord said, you don't want to see that form. You just don't want to see it. And he was determined. And he's Asutos. He is so Dira that his wife, Parvati, she worships his genitals and performs puja to it, he is not affected. He stays fixed in consciousness. That's how strong his mind is. But now he wants to see that Mohini Murti form. Krishna says, you're asking for it. And now it's Krishna. It's not just an ordinary lady. It's Krishna. So Krishna takes this form. And she's like playing with this ball, and she's got, she's going, showing all her bodily gestures right in the area of Shiva. And Shiva says, what is this? Yes, my prayers have come true. So he's seeing this beautiful lady, and all of a sudden something slips from her body, and something is exposed that shouldn't have been. And he's like, whoa. Finally, she's smiling at him, and then he's looking. And she goes running. And then Shiva starts chasing her. And she's smiling. And there's a group of sages. They're all Shivites, and they're sitting there worshiping Shiva. And so they see this girl running past, and then they see their worshipful deity chasing him. And the sages were thinking, is that our worshipful Lord? What happened to him? And then at one point, he lost his energy, And then he came to his senses. He came to his senses, and then he offered beautiful prayers. My Lord, your material energy is so powerful, so bewildering. No one could withstand that material energy. Prabhupada's making this point here. He's not saying, the scripture's not saying, but this is what this verse is about. The personification of attraction to the material energy is the man's attraction to a woman and a woman's attraction to a man. That is the power. You break that, you break all material desires. Does everyone want to break it? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. If you can break that, you break all the material desires. But it's not easy. It is not easy. Great souls, sannyasis, tapasis, they all fall down at one time or other. Look at Vishwamitra Muni. He was so determined. He was a kshatri. He wanted to become a Brahmin because he knew Brahma Tejas was greater than with kshatriya Tejas. He was defeated by a Brahmin, Vishwamitra Muni. Vishishta Muni defeated Vishwamitra Muni. So now he wants to have that power of the Brahmins because he knows it's better than the kshatriyas. So he sits with fires, seven fires all around him in the middle of the hot summer, when the sun is beating down. And then he stays there the whole summer, and when the winter time comes, he goes into the lake in freezing cold water, and he's meditating up to his neck in ice cold water in the middle of the winter time. He's doing this, thinking I will get so much power and I'll be Brahma Tejas, and then I can be the best. He always wanted to be the best. That was Vishwamitra Muni. But Indra is saying, what is this guy trying to do? Take my position? Can't do that. So he sends a society girl, Menaka. Society girls means ones, these girls in the heavenly planets that dance and sing for the pleasure of the, what we say, the royal demigods. They are entertainers. They are very beautiful. They are very charming. They are like goddesses. And so the best of all the entertainers was Menaka. And so Indra was thinking, and it says that if you become really fixed, this is for brahmacharis now, you can all be listen to this, if you become really determined to become Krishna conscious, not Krishna, but Indra will send your old girlfriend back and show, and just to remind you what it was like in the old days again. It happens. It happened to me. I was out on Sankirtan. I saw my old girlfriend from about 25 years ago. I said, oh my God, what's happening here? But then I remembered. It says that when you become determined to stay fixed in renunciation, the demigods, they don't like that because they think you're trying to take your position. And so they send all these nice little girls and smiles and maybe your old girlfriend, she reminds you what it was like in the old days. And so he was really upset, so he sends Menaka. Menaka doesn't say anything. She's got her little ankle bells, and she's tinkling along. And he's in there in his meditation, he hears these bells, and he's thinking, what's that sweet sound? Ooh, 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 ooh. When you fall in love, it's kind of, you make all these weird sounds, you know. You never know what's going to happen next. And so, Hare Krishna. So, you know, all of a sudden, meditation and austerities become, they go on the back seat. And so he gets attracted to this beautiful girl, and he asks her to marry him. And she does. And this beautiful girl was born, Sukuntala. Prabhupada said there's a bit of a story about the life of Sukuntala in the Vedic culture. She was a great, 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 great. She had great knowledge. The life of Sukuntala was the son, was the daughter of Vishwamitra Muni. So now he's disturbed. He's thinking, I used to be a real strict tapasi, and I had so much power. Now look at me, I'm just washing dishes. taking out the garbage, paying the rent. And so that's what happens anyway. And so he's thinking, I'm not going to take this anymore. So there was no divorce papers, but he just said, I'm leaving. So he went back to his, he's like, more determined than before. Not going to let it happen again. Just once, I learned my lesson. And so Indra says, he's trying it again. So he sends another girl, her name is Rumba. So she comes. Nice tinkling bells, and he's thinking, it's Indra again, he's trying to get me. It's not going to happen. Not this time. I'm not going to listen to that tinkling. I hear it, but I don't want to hear it. So this time he gets agitated. And he gets so agitated, he decides to get rid of Rumba. So he's got power now because he's been forming austerities for many years again. This is after a few years. So he looks at her with a fiery glance, and he has his power, and fire comes between, out between. And he turns her into a fire sacrifice. She's just a bunch of ashes. Burnt her to crisp. Well done. Overdone. She was finished. But as soon as he did that, what happened? He lost all his powers. Why? Attraction, aversion is the opposite. Aversion is the opposite side of attraction. You can't be attracted without being averse, and you can't be averse without being attracted. So where do you go? You have to go to the transcendental platform. Therefore, one who is fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord is free from attraction and aversion. There's only one way to conquer this adiras of the material world, sex desire. You can only do it when your love for Krishna is stronger than anything else. There's no other way. And then Krishna will protect you. There's no other way. Because it's powerful. Just like I remember in New Vrindavan, and New Vrindavan was a potpourri of so many interesting things that happened. If you study the life of New Vrindavan, you wonder if it was ISKCON or not, or some movie. We have our you were there. Yeah. We grew up together. He was a little boy singing bhajans at 10 years old. Before that, it was even long. When you were about 6, you were singing bhajans. Yeah. Yeah, he was him and his sister, Shastra. Yeah, she was a little older than you. His mother and father were there. So he's like my good friend. And so New Vrindavan was quite wild. We called it the Wild West because New Vrindavan was in West Virginia, and it was a nickname for West Virginia, Wild West Virginia. And New Vrindavan was the wild, wild West Virginia. So, I won't go into too many stories, but I was, there was one story. Was this one girl, she wanted to marry this boy, and he didn't want to get married. At least to her, anyway. And so, and she used to go in front of the deities and pray every day. I want him. Om Namo Bhakti Das Ki Jai. She was offering all these prayers. And I would, and sometimes I noticed, because she would go at a certain time in front of the deities. It was usually around noontime. And she would pray. So we had a discussion. If a lady wants a man, if a lady wants a brahmachari, and the brahmachari doesn't want to stay, wants to stay brahmachari, and Krishna fulfills all desires, who wins? This is a good lesson. This is the whole purport of this class. And so the answer is, and it's very Shastric, that if the girl's desire is stronger than the man's, she wins. If his desire is stronger than hers, he wins. So Krishna will fulfill the strongest desire. So this is a good lesson. So be careful. Keep your desire for Krishna very strong, and then you're safe. Yeah, there were so many adventures like that. I remember there was this other devotee. He was the temple commander. I won't mention his name. Should I mention his name? Actually, he... It starts with a P. He passed on. He actually left the world. Param Brahma Prabhu. So, same situation. Mataji wanted him. And he didn't want to. He wasn't sure. But she was determined. And so he decided to make an experiment to see what Krishna wanted him to do, whether he should get married or stay brahmachari. So we had a lake, which we called Radhakund. Remember, across the road was Radhakund's lake. And it was a man-made lake we made. And so he made an experiment that he would go to sleep at night on a raft in the middle of the lake. And if he woke up on the west side, he would get married. And if he woke up on the east side, he would stay brahmachari. This is a true story. And so he went to sleep at his regular time. And he woke up at 2 o'clock on the east side. But he thought, it's too early to get up. So you can figure out what happened after that. You can ask Maharaj about this. He went back to sleep and it was the west side at 4. So that's when, so he surrendered. I think there might have been a little desire to wake up on the west side, but he wanted to be a little neutral and about coming to the conclusion. So this is the whole program. Prabhupada says the material world, when Brahmananda came, the Brahmananda, a glorious devotee, he just recently left his body about 2 years ago in Vrindavan, served Prabhupada so nicely. He loved Prabhupada so much and did so much to spread Krishna consciousness around the world. Wonderful devotee. When he first came to Krishna consciousness in the Lower East Side, he said to Prabhupada, you know, I used to study in class in school, and I had this one teacher who was a Freudian. You know, Freud, Sigmund Freud. His whole idea was everything was sex. Everything. Everything he saw in this material world was connected to some element of sex life. And so, and he said that to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, he's right. Prabhupada said, this is the purpose of this material world, to fulfill that desire to enjoy, and this is the, what we say, the ultimate principle of enjoyment in this world. But because it's the ultimate happiness, it's also the ultimate misery. So, therefore, one should be very careful to keep your mind fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. You might say, well, I'm married. How can I not look at my wife? That's not the idea. You should not see your wife as an object of enjoyment. You should not see your husband as an object of enjoyment. You see your wife or your husband as an object of service. That soul who's in that body, who's called your wife or husband, belongs to Krishna, not to you. Belongs to Krishna, and therefore you serve Krishna by serving that person in the best possible way. There is affection there, It's not like you can't be affectionate. I remember I was in, I get all these stories. Anyway, I was in Vrindavan, and one very nice devotee, she was a very nice devotee, she said, "Maharaj, I got to talk to you." I get this all the time. "Maharaj, I got to talk to you." Okay, emergency. Okay, let's talk. "I got married. I've been married for about 6 months. And my husband only reads Chaitanya Charitamrita all day, doesn't talk to me. He just wants me to wash his clothes and cook, and he reads, that's all." She's asking me. She could ask somebody else who might have been more favorable to her, but she's asking me. So I was thinking, I empathize. No, not empathize. I sympathize. I sympathize with you. And I said, well, I think you married a brahmachari. Or a scholar. He just wasn't interested in anything. He just thought, I need somebody to wash clothes and cook because I want to read. So, you know, it takes time to do that, and I want to spend more time reading. I mean, people get married for different reasons. So I said, well, I got a little stuck on this answer. I said, well, try to help him a little. Try to remind him that you're there for a little bit more than that. So I couldn't give her really anything. What could I say? So she came back to me about, I think it was a few months later, she said, it's all over. It's finished. And so somehow he kept reading and she just kept moving. So that was the end of that. But that's not the purpose. If you're going to get married, you have to fulfill your duties as a responsible householder. Whether you're a brahmachari or householder, grihastha, sannyasi, there is rules and regulations and requirements one has to fulfill. In relationship, especially in grihastha life, there's responsibilities to each other. But the main responsibility is to keep Krishna in the center. That's the main responsibility. Sex life is not enjoyable. It leads to great suffering. The highest form of pleasure is Brahma Sokhyam. Sex life seems like it's pleasurable because people are, if you're hungry, then food is something you need because it fulfills that need for hunger. But if you're lusty, then sex seems like that is what I need to fulfill this desire. But get rid of lust, and then there's no need. Well, how to get rid of lust? It's not very so easy to get it rid of. Therefore, what is lust anyway? Lust is simply love of Krishna directed away from Krishna. So when you take that same energy and direct it towards Krishna, it comes back to its natural, pure spiritual essence. And that's the only way that one can be free from the temptations of this material world. And Prabhupada says that in the very end, he says, one must strongly adhere to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Then one's position is secure. There's no other way. It's not by 1980, I don't want this, I had so many bad experiences with this, I'm not going to do it again, you'll do it again. Because it's just like, you see, we preach in jails. People go to, they know crime is wrong. They commit crimes, they go to jail, they get punished, they suffer, they come out, they do it again. They know it's wrong, but they can't help it. The desire is in the heart. Unless that desire from the heart is removed and replaced with something spiritual, then that desire will push one to act and to think in a certain way, in a material way. So these material energy is very, very illusionary. But one should see things beyond what you actually see. Just like There was this one very famous, beautiful actress. She was French. Brigitte Bardot. Brigitte Bardot. I can't speak French anyway. So this is, she was, I mean, she, I'm just by looking at her, people would lose it. Fulfillment of all my desires in one place. And she was so attractive, but when she got about 50 years of age, she was still, she looked into the mirror one day, and she saw something that caused her to have a mental, what we say, what's the word? Collapse. What is it? Breakdown. She saw wrinkles. Haribol. And she was thinking, I'm not going out in public anymore. And she stopped. She changed her whole life when she saw that what she lived for and what everyone else thought that she lived for was no longer available. She stopped. And she changed her whole life. She's still alive. She's in her 90s now. She's an animal rights activist. She's still alive. She's still alive. She changed her whole life. So this is intelligence. So whatever the forms in this world that we get attracted to, you should understand in due course of time, things change. Things change. So don't get attracted by these external forms, because you have to see beyond the form. And beyond the form is that this form is going to be something different. We get attracted to Krishna, and we also get attracted to Krishna's devotees. Why? Because the devotee is part and parcel of Krishna. But attraction is not physical. Physical attraction wears off 1-2 years. They did a survey in America about divorces. Most people who get divorces divorce after 2 or 3 years of marriage. And after that, they actually find out they get remarried again and they get divorced again. Why? Because they get attracted to something physical, something sensual, something apparently beautifully materially. But that changes. That changes. And then, says Maharaj was saying yesterday, marriage really means friendship. To develop real strong friendship with your partner and work together in Krishna consciousness. You may have children, you may do so many other things, but it's a good friend. And you help each other in your process of Krishna consciousness. It's not about sensual enjoyment. It's not about sensual enjoyment. Men have this idea, when they're looking for the woman, they're looking for that goddess coming from the heavenly planets that'll float down and just kind of like make all his dreams come true. This is men. I give you a psychological between men and women. You want to hear this one? This is good. Ladies will like this one too. The men are looking for the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi herself. That's what the men are looking. And the women are looking for affection, protection, and security. Even if the guy is not so good looking, they'll take him. If he's a nice guy, if he's affectionate, and if he can supply material security. Am I wrong? No. Okay, thank you very much. And I know most men don't get married. They wait so long because they're still waiting for that heavenly airplane to come flying down. To pick him up and take him with that girl at his dreams to the higher levels of existence in that castle that floats around in the sky. Well, so don't wait so long. So it's not about that. It's this is an illusion, and it's another part of the illusion. So one should understand that if it's required to get married, then do it as a service to the Supreme Personality. Become fixed in your ashram. When you're fixed in your ashram, if you're Someone asked Prabhupada, there's devotees who practice Krishna consciousness that are not brahmacharis and are not grihasthas. What is it? Prabhupada called them, he said, bachelor daddies. Bachelor daddies. That means they're kind of like, it's not an ashram. It's just not an ashram. Somehow we allow everyone to practice Krishna consciousness, but fix yourself. When you get fixed in the ashram, you get fixed in Krishna consciousness. So if you're a brahmachari, stay there. If you're a brahmachari and you want to get married, then move in that direction and get fixed in your ashram and become an ideal grihastha. Prabhupada said, if you're an ideal grihastha, then, and you follow the regulative principles, he said, that's as good as sannyas. That's as good as sannyas, he said. He said, there's no even reason to take sannyas if you live in that ashram, following the regulative principles very carefully and live according and to the proper mood of worship, like that, keeping Krishna in the center. It is good as sannyas. But this in the middle, where guys don't want to get married, they just want to float around and do their own thing and just check out the girls. Doesn't work. You can't remember Krishna like that. So join the ashram, becomes fixed in austerity as a brahmachari, or get married. Don't stay in the middle, because there's no middle. There's no middle. Because the mind and senses have to be engaged in devotional service. If you're living outside, you're in the contact with the material energy all the time. And therefore, it's easy to become victimized by that. You may not want to take the responsibility of getting married, but you're losing the responsibility of your devotional service. So it's important to fix the ashram like that. And that is recommended. But in that ashram, whatever you are, whether you're brahmachari, grihastha, or whatever ashram you are, you should understand that this material world is simply a thorn to take out a thorn. The Bhagavatam says that if you get a thorn in your foot, you take another thorn and you pull that other thorn out, and then what do you do with both thorns? You throw them both away. You don't keep either one. So material desires can be removed by taking those material desires and engaging them in devotional service, purifying them, and then freeing that one from all material desires. Because all desires are actually spiritual. But they're covered with an energy of the material energy, and it appears to be. So spiritual desires means it's for Krishna. Material desires means it's for me. The same activity. That's all. That's why Krishna says, if you perform sex life for procreation of children, then that is as good as worshipping me. So this is the understanding. But we have to understand that this material world is very bewildering, and this is the whole thing. Even great souls become victimized by this material world and forget that this material world is temporary, and they forget their position. So we said, therefore, one has to become very strict in the execution of their duties, especially when it comes to chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes.
Then all other material desires go. You get rid of them also.
Well, there are people who don't like sex life, but they're still affected by lust.
I wanted to ask you, what about if somebody still pursues this subtle, being honored and things like that.
So it's understood, and this is Shastra, that when you see a weed on the grass, you take your weed cutter and you may cut it, but the root is still there. That's the subtle part. So when you're practicing Krishna consciousness, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meeting. But then the subtle desires are, I want to be recognized, I want to be positioned, I like honor, I want some prestige. These are the subtle desires. If you don't get rid of the subtle desires by becoming more and more fixed in your devotional service, then the gross desires can come back again. Just like when you cut the gross ones off, the weed still stays in the basis of the weed. The root is still in the ground. It'll grow back again. So therefore, in order to get rid of lust, one has to get rid of the subtle aspects of it too. Profit, adoration, and distinction.
So behind those subtle is actually this desire to unite, gross desire to unite with opposite sex. So if we see that somebody is pursuing honor, so we can deduce he's still somebody, there is hiding gross desire inside.
Yeah, but don't judge other people. It's better not, because you might be wrong, and if you're wrong, it's an offense. And even if you're right, it's an offense. Don't try to see other people's, try to work on yourself. Because we work on ourselves, then we'll always be in the mood of service instead of in the mood of calculating everybody else's problems. But that's true. That if one is pursuing profit, adoration, and distinction, position, prestige, or something, that means the sex desire is still there, but it's in a subtle form. That's all. It's in the subtle form. Every material desire has a gross form and a subtle form. Gross aspect to it and a subtle aspect to it.
Can I have one more question?
And when you practice devotional service, you think, oh, well, I got rid of all these external, the gross things, but you don't see the subtle things. And if you don't recognize them and work on to get rid of them, then the gross things may again return. You see that sometimes great devotees who are very powerful preachers become, again, they fall down all the way down, way down. Because they haven't got rid of those subtle desires.
In 16:8, Krishna says about this demoniac nature, about people who describe the reason why this world exists. He says that they say that it has no other reason
but lust.
Yeah. And he says that But Prabhupada said the same thing, but it has one more reason, probably. He's describing that people with demoniac nature see it like that, but it is like that.
That's what it is. They think, they think sex life is the success in life. But that's the demons. We're not talking about demons so much in this class. We're talking about devotees who are struggling with these different elements of material attachment. Just like, what's the difference between a man's lust and a woman's lust? I asked a very prestigious woman. No, I didn't ask. I happened to be there in a conversation when some devotee asked this very advanced lady in our... It's Irmala, Mother Irmala. She's fixed. She says a woman's lust and a man's lust is different. Man's lust mostly centers around sex life. A woman's lust centers around so many other things. She wants a nice house, she wants so many clothes, so many saris, so many nice...